My wife and I kind of got into it this morning over the question of, is it ever appropriate and reasonable for a grown man to spend time playing a video game? She said, no way. And I said, honey, I think there's value in hobbies, even hobbies that they're just purely about fun. But that being said, most of our hobby time should be aimed at things that grow us as men, in relationship, etc.
Run your home and your dough like a biblical boss.
As we get into the episode this week, Stephen, I want to play you a video that I ran across. I don't know why. I log on to Instagram about once every 6 weeks. But when I did, this video popped into my feed, and it was a pastor guy up in front of a church excoriating the fathers and saying, if you're a dad out there and you have time for a hobby, then you are doing something wrong. So let's take a quick peek at this video. And then I think we're going to spend our time today talking about whether this chucklehead has a point or if he's off his rocker.
Okay. I'm interested to see this video, but I'll just throw in here that it is a pastime of the so-called ministers of our nation to insult and degrade men for all manner of things. My guess is this same guy probably doesn't use as strong a language when he's talking to the women folk.
Yeah, he's the guy who preaches a Mother's Day sermon about the beauty of motherhood and uses Father's Day to tell guys to get off their butts and start working harder.
Yeah, right. Okay, let's watch the video.
Husband and dad with young kids, newsflash, you shouldn't be having time for a hobby. If you're doing your job as a dad and you're doing a job as a husband, where are you finding time for hobbies? I flushed my hobbies down the toilet the second we had a kid, and I'm only getting back into them now that I can bring my kids with me and we can do it together. Otherwise, why would I take the little margin of life I have left and open and available and go do a hobby?
Okay, can I make a comment about this video before you get into your stuff, Mark?
You can.
If you're new to the podcast, you might not know. I have had a career as a professional minister in that world, in the church working world. And I see this guy making these comments. And it just never fails that these guys whose lives are doing the Wednesday night potluck and then doing the Tuesday night men's Bible study and then doing the Friday night family growth thing, and they project their lives as professional ministers onto the lives of normal people who don't do what they do. And I can completely see that for this guy, all he has time for is all of his ministry things. And oh, there's a baby too, and I'm supposed to fit a date night in? And I can totally see that. And I think it's probably just misapplied medicine that he thinks that we all need what he needs. And I think that's probably not fair. And I think ministers do it all the time.
Yeah, I hear it all the time. This sentiment that if you're not doing it for or with your family, it's probably sin. And I think that we're giving ourselves away here on our opinions, but I want to back up for a minute and talk about, what does the Bible have to say about hobbies? How did God create men to function? And then, in my opinion, we will be at an answer for, is our friend the anti-hobby preacher off base?
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay. Point number one.
All right.
I believe that men relate to each other primarily, you might have heard this, it's a little cheesy, but I think it's true, primarily shoulder to shoulder rather than face to face. So
okay.
What that means is if you're looking to connect with other men, you're going to have a lot better luck making a connection by doing something together than maybe how my wife would typically connect with another woman, which would be to sit down and have a coffee and talk. there's a lot of evidence of this, but I don't know that we even need it. I think most people hear that and they go, yeah, it's true. If I'm going to go out and spend time with guys, it's a lot easier to do when we're doing something. It could even be we're digging a ditch together.
Yeah.
We're going to have an easier time conversing, getting to know each other, versus if we were to act like our wives and go sit together and just talk about how we're feeling and thinking. Now, both you and I meet with guys and sit in a coffee shop and talk about what we're thinking
sure.
about. We do that. So I'm not saying don't do that. I'm saying I don't think it's the best way to connect as a guy with other guys.
I'm always shocked and bemused when I come home from having spent a couple of hours building something or playing sports with a buddy or whatever. And then I come home and she asks the first basic question, like, so are they going to move house? Or is he going to marry that girl? Or, you know, whatever. And I kind of go, I have no idea. We never got to that. I never asked that question. We were really more interested in whether the screw head size was the right thing for the plywood, you know, or whatever. And my wife's going, how could that not come up? Like, that's not where our brains were. We were trying to get this thing done, you know?
Yeah. Getting the thing done together or completing the bike ride or whatever gives you some relational capital that allows for those other conversations to eventually come up. Whereas sitting in and let's get to know each other might actually never lead down that road. But
yes,
I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me give you some facts, and we're going to put a pin in this idea that men relate to each other by doing things and come back to it in a second. But did you know that most men in the United States have zero friends by the time they reach age 42?
I have heard this stat, but I just cannot conceive of living life that way.
It's true. I've seen it all over the place. Number two, a 2016 Harvard study finds that loneliness, which is a result of having no companionship, and I would argue that can be true even inside of a guy who has a delightful marriage and kids, he could still be very lonely without any friends. Loneliness is as bad as smoking when it comes to your risk of heart disease and stroke. So a guy that has robust network of friends and smokes a pack a day, physical health is going to be equivalent to a guy that lives very clean and is lonely and doesn't have friendship in his life.
I'm going to throw a Bible verse at that idea.
I'll receive it.
Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. And I have been through seasons of my life where there was loneliness. I've spent a lot of time with people who have gone through seasons of loneliness, and it makes you vulnerable in all kinds of ways, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and it is not healthy. I'm totally understand that stat. That is easy to believe.
Yeah. So if we stopped there, maybe you're an Abraham's Walt listener who's like, I don't know about the Bible. I'm interested to hear what it says, but like you could just look at the scientific data and go, there's something to this. But of course, the Word of God has something to say about friendship as well and its importance. So I'm going to pepper you right now with some Bible verses. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he fails and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Proverbs 13:20, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools suffers harm. So adding to the mix, now we're saying not only do you need companionship, you need to be thoughtful about who those companions are, and it can change who you are. So sitting alone in your room or never leaving the relational walls of your household is going to result in a deficit in your life of wisdom, if that's your only source. Very popular one to put on like a men's retreat shirt, Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. You know, I occasionally hear guys like, well, my marriage and my wife, that's the most refining relationship I've got. This says you need a man to sharpen you if you're a man. Proverbs 17, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. So you and I have both been through seasons where we needed not just the companionship of our spouse or our family or even our extended family. We needed brothers that it felt like we could go to war with.
Yep.
And so the scriptures, I think we could keep going and going about the benefits of friendship. But if we put these two things together, friendship, male companionship is super important for men for all sorts of reasons, health reasons, relational reasons, spiritual development. You know, adversity doesn't just have to be spiritual and emotional adversity. It could be financial adversity. So in all five capitals, we need brotherhood and friendship to thrive. And men relate to each other through doing things. So I'm going to say hobbies might be the best way for a man to make real friends.
Okay.
You know, I think I love some guys who have no hobbies and they just don't have any. And these guys, a friendless man or a man who can't go do anything with other guys, they kind of become a sort of house cat. And I would argue not attractive to his wife or kids as a father. I'm just here to do what you know, I think is going to help the kids or please the wife. And there's arrives a lack of passion to some degree that
right.
I'm not saying that our full focus, we're going to talk about this in a second. There's a very big ditch on the side of this hobby road on either side. And getting overly passionate about a hobby can be a real problem.
Sure.
But a nice pursuit that's just something you're like, I'm going to dedicate some time to this in community with others and get better at it. That can actually really amp up the level of just expressing healthy masculinity. I'm striving to improve at something, get better, contend amongst peers, all those things.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking about these friends of yours that have no hobbies. I find them, I don't even know who they are, and I find them uninteresting already.
Well, I'll go through the list of names I've compiled in here.
Also, I think that your point is well made that there is something, it's a side effect. I don't think it's the main point, but there's something about having a zeal for life. I know that Paul said, never be lacking in your zeal. And there's something about having a passion for life. And I hadn't thought of this before you said it, but for me to go out and go get in a tournament and win the tournament, that happened to me in the last couple of months. And yeah, that brings a little attractiveness home to the wife. She wants to esteem you, right? She wants to respect you. And you don't have to be the best at whatever your pursuit is, but just the pursuit to edit yourself, to take input, to go, I've got to get better at this one thing. I'm trying to get my time down. I'm trying to lift more, whatever your thing is. I've seen this secondhand. I watch the way that wives talk about their husbands, even with regards to their hobbies. So I think about the years and years when my dad was a great golfer and he was great at tennis. And there was something about my mom where she would kind of shake her head and maybe cluck about, well, you know, it's Sunday night again. You know what that means? Dad's going to be out playing tennis. But whenever that subject came up, there was definitely pride in the way that my mom talked about and esteemed my dad because he was really good at these sports. Well, now my dad's gone. And to this day, My mom will speak of what a great golfer. He was such a winner. He was always a winner. You know, I just find that kind of interesting. And I just had a conversation yesterday with a friend who is spending time with a young man. And this guy is very serious about the Lord, but the young man is almost, he's so narrow focused about everything needs to be spiritual. Everything needs to be important, that it's almost becoming a stumbling block, particularly to his dating life, because it's all very important and it's all very serious. And when a woman starts interacting with him, a 20-year-old woman starts interacting with him, it's kind of like, how fun would it be to be with you around the clock if everything has to be spiritual and serious and you're not funny? Did you know that a sense of humor is the number one attractive thing, so the studies say, of females to males? Like when they look at a male, when he has a sense of humor, that's so attractive to them. Well, what does that say? It means I'm lighthearted, means I can have fun, I can laugh at myself, life is fun, let's look for opportunities of joy. So that's something to me, like I would say to this young man, like, hey, bro, all of life is supposed to be delightful. The time we spend with the Lord is supposed to be delightful. The time we spend bettering ourselves intellectually is supposed to be delightful. I know that there's work and I know that there's sacrifice, but in the long run, you go, this is part of what God gives to us, which makes me think of Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes is written from the standpoint of someone who has seen it all. It's a pretty cynical take on life. But even this guy in chapter 9 says, go, eat your bread with joy. Now, we could just leave it right there for me and go, well, I want to enjoy food. I want to really praise God, thank God for food. It says, eat your bread with joy, drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do. Now, that's a fascinating verse. If you have God's favor in your life, then I could be walking down the street. I could be bouncing a ball, you know, playing a game of tic-tac-toe and have fun with it. God has already approved what you do. Listen to what it says. Let your garments always be white. Let not oil be lacking on your head. Oil is about merriment and joy and being fresh and alive. Verse 9, enjoy life with the wife whom you love all the days of your life that God has given you under the sun, because that is your portion in life. And in your toil at which you toil under the sun, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. So I was out with some buddies this morning playing pickleball, and I'm doing it with all of my might. I'm even like coaching myself. Come on, try harder. Come on. You're asleep on that point. Come on, let's go. And as you just said, is that the most important thing in life? No, but God has given us the broad palette of all of life, where it's hiking or building something. You could be making a ship in a bottle, and you can still do it with passion and do it with all your might, because life is there for us to enjoy, and God blesses the enjoyment of life.
Yeah. So I think what we've established then, just to recap before I go into a couple specific points and maybe even some recommendations, if you're hearing this and going, uh-oh, I'm the house cat, I have no hobbies. Men need to relate to each other. They need friends. And the default, if they don't do something pretty drastic, is that they will end up with none. Hobbies are an excellent way to do that. And we're created by the God who made us, not only to relate to each other through activities like this as men, but also to enjoy life and have fun.
Amen.
And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's really important that fun and play be a part of our weekly rhythms. So
here, here.
You might be saying, why, Mark, are we talking about hobbies on a finance podcast? Hobbies cost. Hobbies cost both time and money, and that is okay. So this is Mark giving you permission that you are allowed, as a father of young children, to spend both time and money on hobbies. Now, here comes the disclaimer, because I said there's a big ditch on either side of this hobby road. the one we've kind of spent most of our time on so far is the ditch over here that is the I don't have any way of play and fun, and I don't relate with other guys through any sort of activities. I have no hobbies. That's one ditch. The other ditch is the one I have fallen into in my day, Steve, which is to say, I am going to go so hard after this hobby that I'm going to way overspend time, or somebody could say, like, I'm going to spend all this money that I don't have on that hobby. And I think back to the fact that I got involved in ultra running at the time that all our children were being born. And I would go on a Saturday. It was no unusual thing for me to be like, I'm going to go run for 10 hours on a Saturday, and I'm going to go run for 5 hours the next Sunday. And I don't know how that happened. Honestly, it was foolishness. And the Lord was very kind and gave me a very kind wife to not have that be something that caused actual, real, long-term damage to my family. But there was a time, thankfully, pretty soon after I took this hobby up, where I woke up one day and went, oh my gosh, what am I doing? This is totally inappropriate for a father in my stage. So be aware of that. However, that doesn't mean you should say, I'm just in a stage of life where this can't be a part of what I do. I think you should be allocating a portion of time and a portion of money to this. And, you know, that verse about Proverbs 13:20, the wise, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. There's a reason that guys have joined country clubs to hang out with rich old guys when they're younger in their career. I'm not saying that that's the wise move necessarily.
Yeah.
But if you rub shoulders with people who are where you want to be, you're going to likely have them rub off on you. Just like if you rub shoulders with guys who are not where you want to go, that's going to rub off on you too.
True.
But one of the best ways to do that is if I moved to a new city and I had no friends, and I was just like, what am I going to do? And when I was prepping for this episode, I thought, what are the things, the hobbies that sound the worst to me? Things I would just not be excited about. And I thought of the park that I drive by every time I go to my sister's house that is full of kind of alternative looking hippies playing frisbee golf, or I believe they call it disc golf.
That's the worst hobby you can think of?
It's just the first one that came to mind, Steve.
Oh, bro.
Let me go.
I could come up with 10 worse than that.
What I'm saying is if I moved to a city and I had no friends and I noticed the guys that I think would be good connections for me and I would actually like to have a relationship with, they're into this, you better believe that I would be headed out to go get myself a set of disc golf discs.
Great
and
point.
A little carrying bag. No offense if this is your hobby. No problem. But I do think you should not go into a cave and say, what am I interested in? Oh, Steven keeps mentioning building ships in a bottle, and that sounds great to me. Don't do that. You can do that with a small chunk of your time. But what I want you to think about, and the reason we're bringing friendship and relationship into this conversation about hobbies, is it is such a good way to trade capitals. And say, you know, I'm not interested in biking, but all the guys at my community in like the church I go to, they all go biking every Saturday morning. And it seems like the only way I'm going to get to know them.
Right.
If I go get a bike, and heck, if I spent $1,000 on a road bike, I would also, I guess I'd get a little bit healthier. I'd get some fitness. I'd get some relationships. I might even develop a business relationship that could help me earn money someday. So that is trading financial capital for a plethora of other capitals, and hobbies is a great way to do that. So,
amen. I love that. I love that idea. That's a great illustration. I don't think most guys think that way. I think we have been taught by America to think, what's my favorite thing? What do I like to do? And see ourselves as an outsider if everybody else is into this thing And we go like, well, I didn't, that's not my thing, so I don't do that. Instead of going, well, I mean, that's where the people are. The people are the gold. The gold is where these people are. I want to be with them. So I'll spend a little time and money. I could be a novice. I could be the beginner. That's okay. And have the humility to do it. And I think of you, Mark. I think of you having the humility to see that the people love the pickleball. And so
that's on my notes, Steve.
So you humble yourself and you participate.
If I moved to Cincinnati, I believe that it would be important for me to spend time playing pickleball because so many of the guys that I would want to have deeper relationship, you guys all play pickleball in that city. And so do I think it's in my top 10 list of things I would do with a free couple hours? No, but it's worth it. And I would think strategically like that when you're picking what hobbies are you going to invest in and pursue. Last two things I want to say. Steve, you and I run in this world of guys who really are passionate about building up their family as a team on mission.
We do run in those circles.
And we love it. We love guys that are thinking we are doing things together. But one thing I have heard in that soup is, you know, the hobbies that I pursue, I'm only doing things that I can do with my family.
Right.
And I am here to tell you, I think that's not a wise choice. So absolutely, for sure, there's something to be said for having some hobbies that you can do with your family as a team, wife and kids. I mean, one of the greatest joys in my life is during the summer months, I can grab my teenager and say, hey, I'm going golfing. Do you want to play? And because I kind of said, this is something I'm going to do and I want you to participate. Now she's good enough that it's fun for her and it's super fun to go do that together. However, that is not my only screen for what hobbies we're going to do. I think you need time to develop deep relationships with other men. And if you're in this, I'm only doing it if we're doing it as a family. I think it's well-intentioned perhaps, but the result is that guys don't get a chance to do that male bonding that happens in a group of men or an adult-only space. So I think that it's important to say, have hobbies that you can actually pursue deeply with adults, with other guys. But the effect of that is something that Justin Wolfenberg said when he was on the podcast, which is, you know, I've got things that I really like to do. And I want my kids to experience what it's like to be with their dad when he is super excited about something, which means for me, you know, as we talk about from time to time, I like trying to get better at the game of golf. And so when my kids are with me doing it, whether or not it ends up being their primary hobby, they get to see dad as like really engaged and trying to get better. And I think that presents a really cool picture to them when they either are around me doing it or when they participate with me doing it. So I think that's an important piece of kind of patching together your hobby framework as a guy.
Yeah. Let me opine on that point. When you talk about having hobbies that don't include your family, I think of anybody who wants to be a family builder, you're going to have some season, and it might be long based on how large your family is. You're going to have some season in which you feel that you are drowning in babies and in family responsibilities. And your wife's needs are high during that time. And if you've got a toddler and an infant in the house, bro, it's tiring. And if you've got five under the age of seven, holy cow, you know, it's everybody's running on elbow grease. We say when we're helping people build a weekly rhythm that it would be very helpful if time was put aside and protected and carved out so that mom could go get her tank refilled somehow. If there's a regular meeting that I go to, where it's prayer meeting. It's what's that woman's BSF thing that where I'm built into, or there it's a weekly tea I do with a couple of ladies, just so I can get my head out of the suds of dishes and laundry, you know, very healthy. Now let's just think about you, Dad. If you want to be bringing your A game into family life, let's just imagine just for a second, what does that mean? So if you could just parachute yourself in at full strength into the scene with all the kids and the wife, and how can I be a leader, and how can I initiate spiritual conversations, and how can I be strong and capable? If you imagine yourself in that scenario, you are full of energy. You are not coming to the scene needing things from the scene. You're ready to give and support and be strong. You're ready to offer ideas. You're not going to, who's got an idea of what we can do tonight? And I would suggest to you that it would be very healthy for you to do the same thing for Dad as you would do for Mom, which is to carve out time where you're getting some input and where you're getting, if we may use this phrase, your tank filled. Now, sometimes that means go away with the wife for a night and put away child responsibilities. That's great. But that also means, where can Dad get the endorphins going? Where can he get excited? Let's say you have a 9-to-5 job behind a desk looking at a monitor all day. Well, where are you going to get excited about life? Where are you going to, you know, pump some steel? Or I think of you on your road bike going for it and getting your heart rate up. You must have this in your life, gentlemen. You must find this somewhere. If you're the kind of guy who can, I can diligently get up at 5:30, I can go run 4 miles, and then I can continue with my day. Okay, that's not best. What's best is that you have two running buddies that get up with you at 5:30 every day, and you talk, and you get the heart rate going, and you've got your friendships going, and there's something that builds into you so that you're bringing your best self into your family life. A dad who's out of gas, not motivated, not healthy, has no energy, is not the best thing for your family. So you have to be able to find a spot. I think it's much better if it's a rhythm. And what I mean by rhythm is it's duplicatable. We know it's going to happen every week. Our jaws have dropped for years at our friends, the Beau Says Yours, because Sammy has all of these babies in the house and Michael is doing a lot of heavy lifting to support that whole scene. But guess what? Yay, verily, for these, I don't know, 10 years that they've been cranking out babies, Sammy insists that Michael maintain his place in the hockey league playing ice hockey one night a week. She insists upon it. Why? Why would she? I mean, that's pretty precious time. You know, it's like from 8 to 10:30 one night a week. It's a big deal. Why? Because he's much better. She'll just say this. He's just better. He can go spend some energy. He comes back full of energy. He's got some competitive fire going. It's just better. So I think that's part and parcel with what you're saying, that we got to have this time. I believe it's really healthy for us to have time where we're being built into and building relationships outside of our family. I think that's part of what you're saying. Am I right there?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, That's a good segue into kind of my final point, which is I want to give guys something like a framework to evaluate hobbies on.
Excellent.
I agree that it's okay to have a hobby that you just, it's like me and the Lord. I'm pursuing it. I'm trying to run a 5-minute mile or whatever it is, and I go do that before everybody wakes up. But I was with Amelia, my wife, this morning and talking through this episode. And what are your thoughts on this? And we talked about some of my times in my past where I veered off into the overdoing it ditch and all that. But I told her, I said, you know, we aren't really, I don't know a lot of guys my age who this is their thing, but I know a lot of guys 10 years younger than me who their thing is video games. And like we said at the very front end of this episode, I said, well, what do you think about that? What if guys get together and play video games? And she was initially horrified, like, what a bunch of pansies. I don't want a guy that has anything to do with that. What a loser. And then I sort of challenged it and I said, well, what if they're getting together? Like, you don't mind if I get together with guys and play cards once in a while? That's not really. And so I think where we ended up was that there is such a thing as your main entree hobbies, and then there's desserts. And just like with food, like, desserts are not bad. The Lord has given them and they can be received with thanks. Dessert becomes very, very bad if it's the main thing that we eat all the time.
Okay, and how do we know what's a dessert hobby?
Okay, I'm just going to propose one potential option for this. You don't have to agree with me. But if we go back to the five capitals, you know, there's spiritual, relational, physical, intellectual, and financial capital. I think hobbies often, not always, focus on physical, relational, and intellectual capital. And I think main dish hobbies, the stuff that you could say, let's build a rhythm out of this and do it regularly. This is Michael Beausejour's hockey league. Those always build multiple capitals simultaneously. So he is going and exercising by skating around. He is on a team with other guys. And that's two big capitals. That 2.5 hours a week, it feels like a pretty good way to develop those two capitals. You know, dessert hobbies might only build one. They might even, you'd say it's a stretch to say they build one. Like, is playing Fortnite really building my intellectual capital?
No.
I don't know. But you can eat them. You can, like you said at the start, it's okay to just have fun. But you need to be very thoughtful about how often am I engaging in this? It's not really building multiple of the capitals that I'm trying to build. So
I like it.
Would it be better to replace this? And again, just to go back to kind of, if I was showing up in a scene, whether that's a new church or a new city or a new job, one of the first things as a man that I would do is look around and go, is there a way that I could use recreation and hobby to build capital in this setting? Relationships being probably the number one I'm thinking of right now. But, you know, exercise is a great example of this. My ideal exercise would be to cut an hour out of the very middle of my workday and go to the gym and lift weights and do a run. And that's what I would do if I was just alone on an island. But I wake up instead of 5 a.m. and I go to the gym because it's an opportunity to do that with my wife. So I'm building multiple capitals at once, even though it's not what I prefer. I don't really like waking up that early, but it's a good sacrifice that still gets me multiple capitals all at once. So that's kind of what I would be thinking. Like, oh, in an all-alone world, Mark would just go play golf, but nobody that I know is interested in that. So maybe I'll have that be a dessert hobby, and all my buddies are into this other thing. So I'm gonna go join the jiu-jitsu gym and at least try that out and see if I can do that.
I think that's great advice. You might not like going to those early morning. What was that stuff that y'all do? CrossFit.
Yeah.
CrossFit. But you did like dressing up as Richard Simmons for Halloween. You did like that.
Yeah, it was okay. I didn't really, I don't know. I still sometimes look back on that with some shame in my heart. But
the short shorts?
Yeah, the short red and white striped shorts.
Yeah.
It's funny, when we looked back at that video that we started the episode with, and I don't know, you can choose to keep this in the episode or not, but
yeah.
I noticed that a friend of mine had left a comment on that pastor's video, and I didn't see it until we went back to grab the video today to record this.
Yeah.
But he wrote some questions, and I think he was posing them in an honest spirit of, I don't know, what do you guys think? And what he wrote was, If we have God who is sufficient, then why do we need hobbies? When I depend on hobbies or TV or food, it seems like it's because I don't truly believe that God will nourish me. And I have to step in for God, you know, and fill myself up with something else. And I do think, as much as we kind of hear that and go, well, you know, I can be very spiritually fulfilled and I'm still going to eat most of the time. I would say that mentality is sort of just another expression of what I've heard from dads that are like, I'm supposed to devote everything right now to fatherhood.
Right.
And the result is you're kind of a much less exciting, vivacious guy. Your wife finds you less attractive. That's true. Go ask her, like, am I less attractive if I just sit around the house and spend time on the floor with the kids? And yeah, I would just say, don't buy the lie that the spiritual thing to do is to do nothing other than overtly dad and spiritual and husband things. Sometimes you just need to be a human the way God designed you to function as a man. And that includes being shoulder to shoulder with other guys, having a good time, building multiple capitals via hobbies.
Great word, Mark. Thank you so much for that. I just want to say in closing that we would love for you to share episodes like this. If you're not already subscribed on YouTube, we'd like for you to do that. And we exist only because of good people like you who donate and support us. So please remember us when it's time to donate in your life. And I will see you next time.